I'm here.
Rubens Kuhn?
Here.
James Bladel?
Here.
Jennifer Standiford?
Here.
Volker Grimmon is absent, and Jennifer Standiford has the proxy for Volker Grimmon. Valerie Tan?
Hello, good morning, I'm here.
Thank you. And in the non-contracted party house, Phil Corwin?
Present.
Susan Kawaguchi? I don't yet see Susan on the line or in the Derby Connect room. Paul McGrady?
I'm here.
Heather Forrest?
Here, Glenn, thank you.
Tony Harris is absent, and he has given his proxy to Wolf Ulrich Knoben. Wolf Ulrich?
Yes, I'm here.
And I see Susan has just joined the line as well. Thank you, Susan.
I'm here.
Marilia Maciel? I do not yet see Marilia on the line. Anna El-Sudar?
I'm present.
David Cake? I don't see David yet on the line either.
Present.
Edward Morris?
Present.
Here, Glenn.
I see Marilia is on Adobe. Thank you very much, Marilia. Stefania Milne? Stefania, I do see you.
Yep, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you very much. I can now. Stephanie Perrin?
Present.
Jules Hosinus?
Here.
Carlos?
I'm here. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you. And our ALAC observer, Olivier Grippin-Leblanc?
Present.
The CCNSO observer, Patrick Miles. I do not see Patrick on the call. Mason Cole, the liaison to the GAC.
I'm here, Glenn.
Thank you, Mason. And
I'm here.
For staff, thank you. And for staff, we have Mary Wong, Julie Headland, Marika Koenig, Steve Chan, Barry Cobb, Lars Hoffman, and for the Secretariat Support staff, we have Natalie Peregrine and myself, Glenda Saint-Gervais, and then we have our technical staff on the line too, Josh Borsch and Mike, help me. I think he's gone off, so we've just had Josh on the line. Thank you very much, and before I hand over to you, James, may I just remind everybody to state their name before they speak for the transcription purposes. Thank you very much, James, and over to you.
Thank you, Glenn, and welcome everyone to our council call, our regularly scheduled council call on January 21st. Appreciate everyone attending this call as well as the special session we had last Thursday. Before we get started, does anyone have any statements of interest or any announcements or declarations relative to their status on the council? Okay, seeing no hands, we'll assume that everyone's statements of interest are intact. We'll move into the review of the agenda, which is posted here on the Adobe Connect room and was circulated earlier. Now, Phil Harwin, I believe, had made a proposal to change the order of the agenda and include item number 7 and move that up, as that is the motion and or discussion on the CCWG response. I'm not opposed to making that change. I would just note that in the intervening time, one of our items, item number 6, the PDP for RPMs and new GTLD or all GTLDs was withdrawn, which gives us some additional time. And I would note that item 4 and 5 are time sensitive. So I don't know, Phil, if you're still interested in making that change, I believe we have sufficient time to cover items 4, 5, and 7 sufficiently.
Yeah,
but
James, I'll defer to the will of the group. I made that suggestion when we were also listing the RPM motion, which has now been withdrawn. I just want to make sure we have sufficient time to get into all the issues on the accountability, but we can probably click through the other votes in 10 to 15 minutes each, I'm thinking. So I'll go with the flow on this one.
Thanks, Phil. I think you're right that we will need a lot of time for item 7, but I also agree that item 4 and 5 should go fairly quickly, although I've been wrong on that sort of thing before. So we'll leave the agenda as is for now with the note that item number 6, the motion on the initiation of a PDP for a review of RPM, has in fact been withdrawn. I, not being familiar with this either as a chair or as a counselor, I asked staff their opinion on that, and certainly it is that issue's report, that motion could be reintroduced by another counselor at a later meeting. Certainly would be subject to all of the other document deadlines and cutoffs, but for now, anyway, for the 21st of January meeting, that item number 6 has been withdrawn. So if there are no other concerns about the agenda, the status of the meetings for the previous sessions have been posted per the council operating procedures, and I guess we're ready then for item number 2. Which is the opening remarks, which we've fairly effectively covered, and review of the open projects staff action list. So perhaps we can ask Marika's team to put that into the window now while they load that up, and we'll go through the action list fairly quickly. And we've allocated 10 minutes for that. So, ooh, that's very small. Okay. Marika, and I should mention at the outset, folks, I have a terrible cold I'm struggling with, so if I go on mute for a while, it's probably to spare you a bunch of coughing and sneezing. So I would ask Marika, if you don't mind, to walk us through this fairly quickly, noting that we have about a page and a half here of open projects and actions. So if there are no objections, I'll ask Marika to take the wheel.
Thanks, James. Yes, so this is Marika, and I actually noticed that my beautiful color coding has disappeared. So for those that want to see it, I can see that on the action item list, because in that we actually try to highlight by color coding to give an indication of, you know, which items are actually coming back on the council meeting agenda, which actions have been completed, and which are the ones still outstanding. So actually the first two items on the action item list are those that will come back later on in the meeting, so I don't think there's any need to spend time on those. Then we have two items that are on hold and already quite for a while now. So at some point, the council may want to consider whether you want to move forward on those or whether we should actually remove them from the list as no further need is considered for this item at this stage. Then we also still have the outstanding IGO, INGO PDP recommendations. I believe we're still waiting to hear back from the board and GAC on this topic. At least I don't have any further updates in that regard.
Yeah, this is Phil. I'm co-chair of that group. Actually, we are waiting on imminent delivery of a paper on the scope of sovereign immunity by a law professor at George Washington University. As soon as that's received, we expect to move forward. We've been waiting for months for further guidance from the board and GAC, and I suspect we'll keep waiting for many more months.
And to Phil's point, Marika, I think that was actually covered in the last council meeting, so maybe we just need to make sure it's captured adequately here. But thank you for the update, Phil. Still on hold pending that report.
Yeah, and this is Marika. Just to clarify, this specific action item relates to the outstanding IGO, INGO PDP recommendations that are basically the board adopted a few of those, but not all. And on those that they didn't take action, there's basically this conversation ongoing, you know, with the GAC, as some of the recommendations were in contrary or in conflict with the GAC advice. I know there's also a link with the IGO, INGO Curative Rights Working Group and their activities, which is covered separately in the project list, But this item specifically relates to, you know, those outstanding recommendations where the board basically, I think, asked the GNSO to consider modifying the recommendations. And I think the GNSO basically asked, well, tell us, you know, what you are looking for, so then we can consider whether or not that's reasonable or not. And I think that's where things stand, if I'm not mistaken. The next item is the GNSO liaison to the GAC. That group is actively working on the items that have been identified here and I think are on track to have their recommendations to the GNSO and the GAC, hopefully in time for further discussion by the Marrakesh meeting. We have the item on collaboration with the IETF that has also been flagged as one of the items for to be included in the schedule for the Marrakesh meeting. Next item has been completed. We received a response from Nora Havasita on the global public interest framework. Of course, if there are further questions or follow-up, that's something the Council can consider separately. And then there are a number of items on the list here that are two items that relate to the updating of the ICANN bylaws and GNSO operating procedures as a result of the adoption of a number of different items, the data metrics final report, selection of procedure board 13, and then there are also the policy and implementation recommendations. So we're moving that along, and we hope that that will happen shortly. We just need some signage, especially in relation to the bylaws. And as you know, there are a lot of other things going on, but we hope that that will happen soon and we'll be able to post everything basically at the same time. James, you have your hand raised?
Thanks. I was just actually going to wait till the end here and ask for questions. I know that Donna had one question and I had a question, so but we might as well get through the end here and then we'll collect all the questions at once.
Okay, I think I'm almost through because basically I think the last three items are all items that have been completed and you know, basically will be removed in the next iteration of the list. And if I can maybe answer Donna's question, I believe yes, I think a session is being scheduled, if I'm not mistaken, currently foreseen for Monday, where I think the expectation is that the process will be initiated on how to move forward on that topic. But I'm happy to reach out to my colleagues in the, I think it's DDP department that are responsible for this item. And that's all I had.
Okay, thanks, Marika. Okay, so first off, I think there was a question from Donna. Let's see, will public interest be a high-level topic in Marrakesh? And I believe this was in relation to the global public interest framework from that we received a response from Nora. I think there was a call put out for high-interest topics, and so far I think the only thing that was responding was, and I think that call was directed not to the GNSO but to the SGs and Cs. Is that correct? Okay. I just, I'm not sure, I'm not aware of any path for that, Donna. It's something we can raise if you would prefer. Otherwise, I think there's currently a thread being circulated amongst the SG chairs, and I think that perhaps if you raise that through the registries, they might get that on the docket as well. Okay, that's the question. Fantastic. The next point was from Ruben, noting that there were some council members tagged in the column of responsible council members that are no longer on the council, Jonathan and Thomas specifically. I suppose we can indicate whether or not we have changed those. I think Thomas in particular on the accountability was flagged not only as a councilor but also as a co-chair. I think we have a number of folks who participate on behalf of the GNSO on the CCWG on accountability. I think Keith, for example, and Phil, and myself to some extent. So I'd be happy with any of those folks occupying that spot. The other item is on hold, the ESAC liaison to the council. and it says Jonathan to explore with Patrick. I suppose it's an action item for me to close the loop with Patrick there and see if we still have any interest in doing that, which I'm happy to do, if nothing else, to either move it forward or get it off this list. My question was with regard, it's a little further down, it's collaboration with the IETF, and I'm not sure where we left this last time, but I do note that there are still ongoing discussions on the IETF about topics that could be considered to have impact on GNSO policy, you know, or GTLD policy, I should say, and I think that it's important that we stay connected to the activities of the IETF. So perhaps I could propose, David, you're tagged here as the responsible counselor. I mean, I'd be glad to help you, but I think that we should, at a minimum, propose a outreach to the IETF and perhaps discuss whether there's a liaison or any other sort of direct interactions that we can facilitate to keep a close eye on what the IETF is up to. David, go ahead.
I was going to suggest that we put a meeting with the IETF appointees to the TLD liaison group in our next in our Marrakesh would be an idea.
Okay, so there will be some activities in Marrakesh.
Well, I don't know, but there is a there are the people who are official liaisons to ICANN to the IETF. We may as well have them come and talk to us about things. I think it would be worth discussing movement on these issues. But
okay,
I mean that's kind of up to meeting planning how we do that.
In the interest of time, let's just maybe put a marker down for you and I after this meeting to reach out to the folks of the IETF and understand whether or not they will have any attendance in Marrakesh and whether they can sit down and at least have some preliminary discussions with us on some of their activities and how we can stay coordinated going forward. And unless anyone on the council has any objections to that, we'll take that as an action item between now and our next meeting and report back. And I think that's it as far as the questions on the action item list. Does anyone have any other thoughts, questions, spot any omissions here? Okay. Thank you, Marika, and appreciate you walking through this very quickly. We can now move to agenda item number 4. And this is the motion on the final report for the Privacy Proxy Services accreditation PDP. And this PDP was completed, I want to say it was completed in late November or early December, right around the beginning of the holidays. The motion was submitted for our December 17th meeting. However, I note that very few SGs, a number of folks indicated at that time that they hadn't had a chance to fully review the report. I know some of us were not only reviewing the report, but were actively involved in the PDP. But as is our convention, we supported the deferral until this meeting. So the motion, and I'll read through it, hopefully this is going to sound very familiar from our call in December, was, I'll just read the resolve clauses here. The GNSO Council adopts and recommends that the ICANN Board of Directors adopt all PPSAI PDP Working Group final recommendations in the final report. Number 2, should the PDP recommendations be adopted by the ICANN Board, the GNSO Council directs ICANN staff to convene a privacy proxy accreditation implementation review team. The implementation review team will be tasked with assisting ICANN staff in developing implementation details for the PDP recommendations, evaluating proposed implementation of the recommendations as approved by the board, and working with ICANN staff to ensure the resultant implementation conforms to the intent of the approved recommendations. The implementation review team shall operate in accordance with implementation review team principles and guidance approved by GNSO Council in June of last year. And finally, the GNSO Council requests that, following the adoption by the ICANN board of the PDP recommendations, the ICANN staff issue a call for volunteers and the implementation review team be circulated to at a minimum to the members of the PPSAI working group. So that is the motion as it stands. And I don't know if there are any – the motion was made by myself, seconded by Amr. I don't know if anyone at this time has any questions or proposing any edits to the motion itself or any questions regarding the report, but this is the culmination of the significant level of effort on the part of all of the folks who were involved in the PPFAI. And I think if there are no concerns, we can proceed to a vote. So I'll just wait for a second here and see if there's any hands. And it gave me an opportunity to go on mute and cough for a couple minutes, so great. Okay, the queue is still empty, so if there are no questions or concerns, so we can proceed to a vote. And I believe, Glenn, for PDP, we should do this via roll call vote.
Certainly, Jen. Shall I start now?
Yes, please. Thank you.
Tony Harris, he's absent. Wolf Woolley Snowden, would you please vote for Tony Harris?
Yes.
James Bledel?
Yes.
David Cate?
Yes.
Donna Austin?
Yes.
Bill Corwin?
Yes.
Edward Morris?
Yes.
Ruben Skuhl?
Yes.
Marilia Maciel?
Yes.
Valerie Tan?
Yes.
Keith Drazek?
Yes.
Jennifer Standiford for Volker Greimann, please?
Yes.
Jennifer Standiford for yourself, please?
Yes.
Susan Kawaguchi?
Yes.
Amma El Sadar?
Yes.
Stefania Millen?
Yes, for Stefania.
Thank you, Stefania. Stephanie Perrin?
Yes, for Stephanie.
Jules Helsinger?
Yes.
Wolf Ulrich Knoben?
Yes.
Paul McGrady?
Yes.
Heather Forrest?
Yes.
The motion passes unanimously, 100% in the contracted party house and 100% in the non-contracted party house. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Glenn, and thanks, everyone. Excellent. And if we could ask staff to now take that report and its recommendations and our approval and translate that to the board of directors. We could also communicate its approval back to the co-chairs and co-vice chairs of the PPSAI PDP working group and let them know that a call for volunteers on the implementation review team will be coming shortly. So thanks, everyone, for who took care of that and also for everyone who worked on that group over the last couple of years. Okay, excellent. So then if we could move on to agenda item number five, and similarly, this is a PDP, I believe, that was originally introduced for the agenda on our December meeting, but was deferred. And I think there has been a late edit or friendly modification to this, so I would like to turn this over to Donna, if you don't mind, to present the motion. I'm sorry, before we get going, Donna, I see Paul has his hand in the queue, so we'll, Paul, Paul, you have a quick comment on this or previous one? I just went too fast.
No, that's probably a premature hand. I'll wait and raise it after the introduction. Sorry.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks, Paul. Donna, the floor is yours if you want to introduce this motion.
Thanks, James. Donna Austin. So this is the approval of the charter for the PDP working group on new GTLD subsequent procedures. This motion was deferred from the last meeting because of some concerns over potential overlap or duplication with language in this charter that could be that meant that the RPMs could be considered in this PDP and also in another PDP that we anticipate will be approved in the near future. So Steve Chan from staff had did some revision of the charter, and I believe that charter was circulated to the council list, and in particular I know that it was Paul, Susan and Phil that had raised concerns about this at the last meeting, so hopefully they're okay with the revised language. So if there's no questions on that, I'll just move forward with, I guess I just read the whereas and the resolves.
Yes, if you'd like.
Okay.
Great.
So whereas the GNSO Council has resolved with the link to undertake a GNSO policy development process to consider and analyse issues discussed in the final issue report on new GTLD subsequent procedures to determine whether changes or adjustments to the existing policy recommendations in the final report on the introduction of new generic top-level domains are needed. Two, the GNSO Council has reviewed the draft working group charter embedded in Annex A to the final issue report, which was delivered to the GNSO Council on 4 December 2015, and agreed to amend the charter to address concerns of potential overlap or duplication with an anticipated PDP on rights protection mechanisms. The final version is available here, so there's a link to the revised version of the charter. Resolved, one, the GNSO Council approves the charter and appoints Paul McGrady as the GNSO Council liaison to the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP working group. The GNSO Council directs ICANN staff to issue a call for volunteers for the PDP working group no later than 7 days after the approval of this motion and until such time as the working group selects a chair for the working group and that chair is confirmed by the GNSO Council. The GNSO Council liaison to the working group shall serve as the interim chair. Thanks, James.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate that. And just a note that we'll take a cue here before we open up the floor for votes. And I note that Phil is in the queue. Phil, go ahead.
Yes, James, just I'm looking at the charter right now, and it does seem to satisfy concerns that this PDP might cross paths with the ones on RPMs. It states clearly that proposing recommendations directly related to RPMs is beyond the remit of the PDP and that anything it wants to convey on that subject should be conveyed to the anticipated PDP on rights protection mechanisms. So speaking for myself and others who share those concerns, we appreciate the amendment, and with that change, the motion looks acceptable along with the charter.
Okay, thank you, Phil. I appreciate that, and I note that you and Paul both had comments last time around on this, so not coincidentally, Paul is in the queue next. Paul?
Thanks. This is Paul McGrady for the record. I just want to understand when the section that Phil just referenced is labeled, I mean, essentially it's second level RPMs. Is that the limitation? That so this won't prohibit looking at RPMs related to the top level, essentially top level RPMs, only RPMs which are unique to the second level? So
Steve,
I guess I'm asking.
Yeah, I think Donna has her hand up, but I was wondering if we could go to Steve if he would he would clarify that that is, or confirm that's in fact the case. I hate to put you on the spot, Steve.
Thanks, James. This is Steve from staff. It is under that heading, and I can see the concern that Paul might have with that. And I think the intention is that it would be any RPMs. It probably would be better to have some clarity there. I'm not really sure how to answer that other than say that it should be in regards to all RPMs.
Okay. And
Paul McGrady again. I think that might have caused some confusion because of the way that it's labeled. And as a result of that, I think that language needs to be clarified so that it's clear one way or the other, so that we know with some precision what it is that we're voting on. Also part of the concern that led to the initial deferring of this was that we didn't have the charter for the RPM PDP in hand either to compare them to make sure that the overlap wouldn't happen. I know we've tried to build in the mechanism here to help prevent that, but without actually having the other charter in its final state to be approved, we're not really where we wanted to be. And so that was obviously we were supposed to be looking at them on the same. We all thought we'd be looking at them today together, which is a different thing than one at a time. So I'm concerned about that as well. If we really are wanting to make sure that everybody has a clear understanding of what's going to be in each, I think we need to deal with the second level, top level distinction and make sure that everybody's on board with how that shakes out. And then also having the other in hand, I think, would be helpful. I'm not trying to delay this forever, but I do think that part of the purpose for the initial deferment, hasn't materialized yet. So I'll be quiet now. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Paul. I have a thought on that, but before we go forward, let's go to Donna.
Thanks, James. Donna Austin. Paul, I wonder if there's some way that we can come to, an understanding that we're able to move forward on the charter today. I mean, my concern is that if we can't come to an agreement today, that means we've pushed this out. It will be 3 months by the time we get to it in February. I do note that in the charter that we're looking at now, it does say, to assure effective coordination between the two groups, a community liaison who is a member of both groups is to be appointed jointly by both groups and confirmed by the GNSO Council. So there is, within the charter, a mechanism there to ensure that there is coordination and that we remove, the possibility of overlap or duplication. I appreciate that the RPMs, charter won't be looked at until the next council meeting, but I really would like to find a way that we can reach agreement to, potentially move forward on this today, if that's at all possible. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Donna. And I see that there is now a queue forming on this point. I would note that you're correct that there is a mechanism for council to amend the charter, but I think to Paul's point, everyone would be a little bit more comfortable proceeding if we could just clear up this last bit of confusion. Phil, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Phil here. Was I correct that I just heard staff say a minute or two ago that the RPM review was supposed to address both first and second level RPMs?
You mean that was Steve's intervention, I believe. Steve, can you confirm?
Thanks, James. So I would actually probably defer to Mary or Lars to actually talk about the RPMs PDP. So what I was speaking to was the item in the new GTLD subsequent procedures charter. But that one would probably be more appropriate to say top level and second level. And to note that they're both, if there were recommendations to be recommended, they would be within beyond the remit of this particular PDP.
Yeah. Let me just say this. It seems I think we should try to wrap this one up today. But since the anticipated PDP is going to be on the current state of all rights protection mechanisms implemented for both existing and new TLDs, and since the new TLD RPMs included new protections at both the top and second level, why don't we just make a decision right here that the RPM review should address both top and second level RPMs and just strike the initial two words at that bullet point in the charter, second level, which is causing the confusion, and then it would just say rights protection mechanisms, colon. It doesn't seem sensible to me to have one PDP addressing top-level RPMs and a different PDP addressing second-level RPMs for new TLDs.
Thanks, Phil. I think that's a sensible point, and it certainly paints us a way out of this entanglement. And I note that Carlos is agreeing with you in the chat as well. Heather's next in the queue, but if you don't mind, can we go to Mary real quickly? I think there were some questions that were directed specifically at staff.
Thanks, Heather, and everyone. So I just want to – hi, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
With regard to the scope of the potential RPM PDP, the distinction is not made between a top-level and a second-level RPM because that's not how that issue was scoped. Rather, the way that potential PDP is being framed is that the RPM there refer to the RPM that were developed for the new GTLD program, and those are indicated in the issue report, as well as the UDRP. So that's point number one. Number two is that the draft charter for that potential PDP does speak to the possibility of having not just amendments but additional RPMs if the review of the existing ones, find that perhaps they are not fulfilling their objectives. So I wanted to make the point that the distinction is not so much between what is at the top level, what is at the second level, but what we currently have, both for the new GTLD program and the longstanding UDRP. So in that respect, what is being referred from this new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP to the potential RPM one is that universe of RPMs. So if there's additional thinking that is not captured by the potential RPM PDP scope as of now, then that may need to be looked at either when we come to that or at some appropriate time. But I just wanted to clarify how that was scoped and what it actually covers. Hopefully that helps.
Okay, thank you, Mary. I think that does help shed a little bit of light here, and I think that it still kind of brings me back to Phil's proposal, which is on the table, to simply modify that bullet point to strike second level and avoid any confusion. Next in the queue is Heather.
Thanks, James. On precisely Phil's point, I'm not sure that solves the problem, and I think the reason for that is we're using this term top-level RPM, and really in no place is that term used in these two documents, the charter or the documentation of the RPM PDP. And, I take Phil's suggestion, strike the word second level from the charter that we're dealing with today. But that doesn't take account of the fact that in Basket 3 of this, we're dealing with the legal rights objection and other dispute mechanisms. And I suspect that that's what we have in mind when we're thinking about top-level RPMs. So with that in mind, simply striking the words second level doesn't get us anywhere, because it that Basket 3 in this charter for the PDP on subsequent procedures quite expressly deals with things that I think a number of us would put into the characterization of top-level RPM. That's my first point, James. I have a second question. I don't know if you want to kick this one around for discussion and then come back to a separate point.
Just to clarify, that removing the qualifier second level doesn't address your concern because you don't believe that some of those other RPMs are specific to the top level. So I guess, could we go the other direction? Instead of striking second level, could we instead replace it with, you know, rights protection mechanisms at all levels or something along those lines to encompass that universe? I'm trying to understand what's being left out by striking it and if we can pick it up some other way.
Sure, James. It's not a matter of being left out. The charter for the subsequent procedures PDP includes within its coverage reference to top level RPMs, but it doesn't call them by that name, top level RPMs. So the entire third basket of work for within this charter for the PDP and subsequent procedures deals with things such as the legal rights objection and other dispute mechanisms. And so those are still left in, is my point. Just by striking the words second level elsewhere doesn't remove RPMs from the scope of this PDP. If the aim is to, let me put it this way, if the aim is to remove RPMs from the scope of this subsequent procedures PDP charter, then we need a fundamental rework of this charter. Unfortunately. And I say that, perhaps it's a good opportunity for me to say this before everyone thinks I've thrown cold water on everything. I don't have an issue necessarily with the idea of having RPMs in this subsequent procedures PDP, and I'm not in any way, shape, or form trying to torpedo the subsequent procedures PDP. My question is this: do we have to do this in two separate PDPs? I wasn't involved in our discussion for December on this charter, and it's not clear to me, do we have to do this as two separate PDPs?
And was that your second point, that question about whether
yes.
or not it needs to be broken up? Yeah, I think it's a fair question. I think that they were on separate tracks initially, but it's certainly within the purview of the council to merge them. Although I think that and the significant rework of the charter, both of those take us back to the drawing board, or at least take us back a couple of steps. And to Donna's point, and I think some of the others, is that we're already way behind the curve on this particular PDP. Let's go to Paul.
Hi, this is Paul McGrady for the record. So I guess there's still, to me as I'm listening in, quite a bit of confusion about what's covered. We've got this second level designation. We're talking about striking it, but as Heather notes, there still remain RPMs in this particular PDP. We don't really have the full universe of what the other PDP will cover to know whether or not there is anything that's being left out of that process. And I just have concerns that without that other draft charter to look at and compare them, we can compare, I guess, a draft of what was going to be voted on, but it was withdrawn for some reason. I don't know why it was withdrawn, and what changes might appear in it between now and next time. I'm not trying to throw cold water or delay this indefinitely. In fact, I volunteered to be the liaison because I'm really interested in this topic. But I think that the initial purpose of the deferral was to get both of those documents side by side and compare them to make sure that we are not either double working something or missing something or creating a situation where somebody has an idea in one of the two PDPs, but there's no place for it to go because it wasn't accounted for in the other PDP charter. And so, I don't think another deferral, but if we all agree to work real hard to actually get the other PDP charter finalized. I'm not sure. Does that mean I'm over time? if we work real hard to get the other charter in front of us to compare them side by side, I think that's worth doing. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Paul. And I note that Mary has some other points here in the chat saying that the potential PDP for RPMs is currently scoped does not include legal rights objections to the extent that the that process is considered by council to be an RPM, and that would still be come under the new GTLD PDP rather than the potential RPM PDP. I think that that's a good point, Mary. So, look, I feel like we're kind of stuck here, and I think we were stuck last time on this one. So we're trying to find a way forward here, and I think part of the concern that I have is that we are trying to steer this effort to ensure that it doesn't collide with another PDP that has been deferred. And, you know, I think to the note that Amr posted is when he withdrew the motion is that that PDP also still needs some work. So I'm concerned that we don't have we have a moving target and we're trying to adjust the target to accommodate it, whereas I feel that we can make an intelligent deportation with this PDP, so it's ready to go, that it will help guide the subsequent PDP on all RPMs. So, you know, I feel instead of adjusting this one to head off something that we think or anticipate might come down the pipe in the other PDP, that the proper move now would be to establish some firm footing on this PDP, on this charter, and then explicitly, and I think this is what Paul was recommending or proposing at the end here, is just then to specifically call out what is and what is not covered in this PDP and would instead fall into the other one. I note that we have a couple of folks responding to that, and Heather has a proposed path forward. So we'll go to Heather. Go ahead.
Great. Thanks, James. I'm wondering, if we can't fix this if we go back to the wording that was tinkered with in this charter, in the PDP for Subsequent Procedures Charter, if we go back and we say, let's say, we go back to those amendments and we say, this PDP, I don't have the language right directly in front of me, sorry, I need to pull the charter up. This PDP will take account, it says broadly, of the work of the RPM PDP. Can we say something along the lines of, this PDP will take account of the RPM PDP, or if such a PDP doesn't occur, we'll deal with RPMs? I mean, can we give ourselves the option, the flexibility of pulling this back into one PDP is my question.
Thanks, Heather, it is. I think all the doors are open to us right now. I think that if that result would mean that this would probably then fall over into our next meeting. You know, and I'm not saying that that's necessarily a bad thing. I'm looking for a path forward that gets us, I sound like a car salesman, but that gets us into this PDP today. And I know that only because we've already fallen a month off the curve here. So, and I see that you are, trying to. I think we are on the same page, Heather, when we're saying that we're trying not to defer a vote, and we're trying to put some language in this particular charter that accounts for the anticipated PDP, but also has a trap condition underneath it, so that, for example, if that PDP does not happen, or if the charter takes a turn in a way that we had not anticipated, that it still provides enough flexibility in this PDP to address that. And I think that's what we're trying to accomplish here. I'm just concerned that we're not going to be able to wordsmith the charter on this call. And I see, okay, yeah, we're landing in the same place. Great. Phil, you're up next.
Yeah, having listened to all this and having looked at the proposed charter for the RPM group, which Mary graciously provided, I'm going to withdraw my suggestion that we strike second level. I now understand, and I think I understand, that the RPM relates to second level protections related to disputes between a rights holder and a registrant, and the other things that get confused are really objection processes aimed at the potential registry, at the applicant, including the legal rights objection. I have no objection to this subsequent procedures PDP looking at the top-level objection procedures and the second-level procedures being over in the RPM PDP. The one thing I want to avoid is two different groups addressing the same subject. So if we all are fine with this PDP addressing the top-level objections directed toward the registries or the applicants, and the RPM PDP that's coming up for discussion probably next meeting being directed at the second-level RPMs, I'm fine with that. What I don't want is two different groups tripping over each other and making conflicting recommendations.
Thanks, Paul, Phil, and I think we're agreed that not everybody, no one wants that that contention over the same issues, especially those people who are going to dedicate their time to working in these PDPs. So I note that that there's been some chatting here. There's been some exchanges in the chat. So I think that. And it does sort of come back to Heather's idea that we try to merge these into a grand unified PDP. I'd like to propose that we modify the charter that is along the lines of Heather's note here. Now, I guess I would have a question for staff whether we are authorized to modify the charter, here to address these concerns, or if we include a modify the motion to note that we have identified an issue with the charter and that we would like to see this addressed as part of the formation and launch of the PDP, and we put in the proviso that we would like this PDP to consider a merger with the subsequent RPM PDP, which is anticipated to launch next time, and if we can, put those down in this motion, because I think as someone noted, this was already deferred once, so deferral is really not on the table. Unfortunately, we either have to withdraw it, or vote it, or kill it, and I think our options here are dwindling. So, if we could put that option into and I don't know that we can put it in the charter directly. I think we have to indirectly note that in a resolve clause. I don't know if we have anyone that would be willing to make a friendly amendment to this motion that would tack on a fourth resolve clause noting the discussion and the concerns. And that, you know, that we want to build that flexibility into this particular charter and then have it circle back once that other TDP is launched. And then we can consider whether or not those two groups are in conflict or whether they need to be merged into a single PDP. So anyone, let's see, I'm trying to do this while I'm also trying to keep an eyeball on the chat here. So Jennifer's note here is that, you know, that we could essentially task the working group to review its charter and identify whether or not any amendments are made. I think that's typically an optional exercise for PDPs, PDP working groups. We could certainly make that a mandatory exercise in this case and reference that PDP should coordinate with its charter with review of the second charter for the RPM's charter. And we could make that as one of the edits to this motion, and then I think that would establish that link. So I see that a couple more folks have their hands raised. I just note that it is 3 minutes before the top of the hour of our first hour, so we do need to kind of start to bring this one in for a landing. But Susan, you're up next.
I just wanted to call out Mary's language, you know, that she posted in the chat. To me, that seems clear. I mean, it's already in the charter for the new GTLD subsequent procedures, and I was just wondering if, you know, anybody, there's a lot going on in the chat, and but it just seems to me that makes it clear enough to avoid any duplication of efforts. My viewpoint.
Thanks, Susan. I'm actually scrolling back a little bit because you're right. The chat is moving pretty quickly right now. So this is the part Mary says, there's a sentence in this charter that says duplication or conflicting work between the new GTLD subsequent procedures, PDP, and the PDP on RPMs must be avoided. If topics related to RPMs are uncovered and discussed in the deliberations of the PDP, those topics should be relayed to the PDP on RPMs for resolution. I think that, to Heather's point, we should modify that to essentially say, you know, or leave the door open that we would merge those two PDPs into a single effort. But I think that is a clean way forward, as you've indicated, Susan. I would just tack on that bit about potentially merging them together. Phil, you're up next.
Yes, and I'm speaking having just been offline for a minute. I lost my phone connection, so I didn't hear what my fellow BC counselor just said, but... you know, I'm looking at the clock here. We have 1 hour left, and we have to deal with the CCWG. We have a charter that seems to have some issues here. We're suddenly talking about adding another resolve clause that could potentially merge this PDP with the RPM PDP after some of us worked hard to make sure that they would not trip over each other, and we're not contemplating a combined subsequent rounds that would address all the RPMs, which leaves the question of what happens with the UDRP. So I'm just not comfortable with agreeing to another resolve clause under this time pressure at the last minute when I don't understand the implications.
Okay, thanks, Phil. That's clear. And that would essentially then roll us back to the sentence that Mary has already identified, which is that that the desire of the council that these two groups not overlap. Now, Phil, just a question and a follow-up here. Are you opposed to the other approach, which is to simply include a resolve clause asking this working group to review its charter against the forthcoming RPM PDP once that group is approved and launched?
Well, James, respectfully, and saying this as someone who a few minutes ago withdrew a suggestion to try to expedite this being completed today, I can't agree to a resolve clause without looking at specific language and having at least a few minutes to think about it.
All right, thanks, Phil. Okay, well, I think we're backed into a bit of a corner on this one, folks. I mean, and a deferment is not an option. I don't know if Donna is willing to withdraw and work on this again. I have a feeling that, you know, on this point, that's probably extreme. While we do need to iron out this wrinkle on the charter, I don't think we want to throw a baby out with the bathwater. I think that continue, you know, Phil, if your objection is solid, then I think that our only option is to fall back to the sentence that Mary has pointed out exists already in the charter, which is basically the charter as is, noting that it shouldn't overlap with the forthcoming PDP, and then that essentially puts us on track to vote on this motion as it stands, which sounds like could jeopardize the motion, but for a variety of different reasons. Okay, Mary, you're up in the queue. I hope you're going to rescue us here.
Hi, James, everybody. I don't know about that, but one alternative to having a new resolve clause at this point, although that would also make it clear, but one alternative is that since the council has time now to consider the charter for the potential RPM PDP, that with the understanding that you reached today about what is to be covered in this versus that one, that when you come to review that draft charter, that either similar or even more clarifying language be inserted into that one, so that when you vote on that one, people reading both charters together, assuming that second one gets launched, will have the same understanding as the council has reached as to what is covered by what.
All right. Thank you, Mary. I think that, and I just want to point out that Susan has reiterated to Phil that Mary's segment that she copied into the chat. Donna, you're next.
Thanks, James. Donna Austin. So in answer to your question, yes, I would be reluctant to withdraw this motion, given it's the, you know, second time it's been on the table and I don't necessarily want to withdraw it. I do believe that the duplication language that is in the charter should address the concerns. And I also strongly agree with Mary that when we consider the next, charter for the RPM's PDP, that we make sure that we have complementary language in that, or we find a way within that charter to make sure that we address any concerns that go back to the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP. And I think Jennifer made the note in the chat that, you know, one of the first things that a working group will do will go back and review the charter. And I think there will be a number of us on that working group that have participated in this discussion, and we will, you know, be diligent to ensure that we cover off the concerns before moving forward. So, if it's possible, I'd really like to get this done today. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. And I tend to agree. This has been on the table now for two of our meeting cycles, and it is, I think it speaks volume that we need to find a way to proceed. So I just want to note that as I've been reviewing the chat that Heather also proposed a new resolve clause. Number four, issues relating to RPMs not addressed by RPM PDP. I would put anticipated in front of that, but otherwise the RPM PDP shall be addressed by this PDP. I think that is a very clean addition. It probably addresses a lot of these concerns, but it does also run afoul of Phil's note that he wouldn't be comfortable voting for a motion that has a resolve clause added at this late stage of the game. And I note that objection, Phil, but I also note that we got to move forward. So maybe.
Well, I think I can satisfy your concern here. I'm looking at that language. What I was objecting to was the concept of a new resolve clause that contemplated not having a separate PDP on the second level RPMs and possibly folding that work into the work of this group. I don't see this new resolve clause doing that, so I'm not objecting to it. I was objecting to the concept of not having a separate PDP on the second level RPMs. I think they're important enough to deserve their own focus, and that's been the expectation up to now. So as long as we all understand that this one, the subsequent procedure, is going to address the top-level objection process. The other one, which we'll deal with in a month or two, will address the second-level RPMs. I think we're fine. I think I view this new resolve clause as just clarifying the understanding we reached in the conversation that the top-level objection process would be dealt with by this PDP. So with that understanding, I'm ready to support this motion.
Fantastic. We've reached a breakthrough. I'm going to go to Susan next in the queue, but before I do, I think just procedurally we would assume that Donna, as the maker of this motion, and Valerie, as the seconder, would both take that change, that additional resolve clause, as a friendly amendment. We just need to confirm that that is, in fact, I think it is, but let's not take that for granted.
James, it's Donna. I have supported the amendment in chat, so yes, I agree.
Thank you. Valerie?
I support that, too. Thank you, James.
Awesome. Thank you, Valerie. Okay, next up is Susan.
Okay. I thought you were going to just keep going there. Just clarification is all. We're maintaining the revisions that we proposed before this meeting in the charter, right?
I believe that is correct and hasn't changed.
Okay. But I'm fine.
Yes. The only thing I believe that we're changing here at the council, we're not digging into the charter itself. We're just changing this motion by adding that fourth resolve clause.
Perfect.
So, and I see we're just kind of going back and forth on the chat between anticipated and forthcoming. I say add them both. Well, we have Donna and Valerie, I guess, would have to sign off on that, but they have noted forthcoming. So if they are still on friendly on this one, then I think that gives us to the clarity that we need. Coin toss, yeah, good idea, Ruben. Amazingly enough, it seems like we've brought this one home, and the queue is, I'm assuming that's an old hand, Susan?
Sorry.
So, great. Okay, the queue is clear. We have a new, slightly revised motion that's given some clarity. We have the changes to the charter that were made prior to this meeting, and I then recommend we proceed to a roll call vote to adopt this PDP. Glenn, if you don't mind.
Thank you, I will start. Yes, Hassinais?
Yes.
Donna Austin?
Yes.
Edward Morris?
Yes.
Wolf Ulrich Knobben for Tony Harris, please.
Yes.
Marilia Maciel? Yes. David Cake?
Yes.
Ruben Stuhl?
Yes.
Paul McGrady?
Yes.
Stefania Milne?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you, Stefania. Volker Grahmann is absent. Jennifer Standiford for Volker Grahmann, please.
Yes.
Valerie Tan.
Yes.
Jennifer Standiford for yourself, please.
Yes.
Keith Drezek.
Yes.
Stephanie Perrin.
Yes.
James Blader?
Yes.
Susan Kawaguchi?
Yes.
Wolf Ulrich Knobin?
Yes.
Amar El-Sadar?
Yes.
Philip Corwin?
Yes.
Thank you, James. The motion passes unanimously, 100% for the contracted party house and 100% for the non-contracted party house. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn. I would note in the chat that Heather is indicating that you did not call her name and that she is voting yes.
Thank you very much, Heather.
We can correct that record to reflect
yes,
that.
Yes, I
please.
Will correct it. Thank you very much. Yes, I have corrected it.
Okay.
Sorry, I went
thank
too
you.
Quickly.
Okay. Well, thanks, everyone, for your saint-like patience in working through that issue. Item number, it looks like it was item number five, and item number six was withdrawn. So now we can move into the really fun bit. Oh, I'm sorry, just a note, the usual, that staff, please communicate the results of the vote to the board and to the and then Paul is, I assume that there's no other issues with remaining as the liaison and the interim chair of that effort. So, great, thank you. And if we can move then to item number seven, we'll tee this up. This is also something where we are kind of on the spot here. We have approximately 48 minutes to resolve some issues. The good news here, and perhaps I'm, you know, just woefully naive or dizzy from cough syrup, but I do believe that we are very close to a position that we can all feel confident in communicating clearly to the CCWG co-chairs on their third draft report. And this, if you recall, we determined that this would be in the form of a letter from myself and Heather and Donna, and it would reference a table that we have been iterating on the list that goes through each of the recommendations and gives a general sense of the level of support for the GNSO based on the comments submitted by the different stakeholders, and then it also touches on any qualifications or conditions or concerns that were raised in those comments as well. And again, I think we're fairly close here. So let's start, if we could, by taking a look at the draft as it stands on the letter. And I believe, and staff can confirm here, I believe that this has incorporated all of the changes that we've seen. We've had a fairly healthy bit of traffic on this on the council list. And I believe that all of those suggested edits have been captured in these two documents. So as we go through this, please, if you see something new or if you see something that you felt should have been in there and picked up and wasn't, please get our attention. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to note, because I also see Stephanie's question in the chat, what I'm basically doing here is sharing my screen so we're able to capture any further changes or update live. You can change this to full screen option if you have difficulty seeing it. I can also enlarge it a bit further in my screen so you have it larger in front of you, although you see less text on your screen. And just to confirm, indeed, that this captures all the changes that I believe were submitted by, I think, Keith, some initial edits and some edits on behalf of the registry stakeholder group, the edits suggested by Phil, edits suggested by Wolf Ulrich, but just to note that we didn't make the change on recommendation 11, as we understand that is still under discussion.
Okay, thank you, Marie. Just one second, please. Thank you, Marika. Okay, so, and primarily it was the changes to the letter were coming in from Keith. That, is that correct? If we take a look down here, I think they're mainly just cosmetic changes until we get to which is
correct.
Here. Yeah, and Keith, I don't mean to put you on the spot immediately here, but you had made a change here by moving this bullet around. Is that can you walk us through?
Happy to, James. And again, I think the changes that I made to the text, and this is Keith Drazik. Hi, everybody. The changes that I suggested to the letter were, as you said, mostly cosmetic or just sort of editorial and non-substantive. I moved the paragraph or suggested moving the paragraph just for flow primarily. Both of them referred to the GNSO anticipating a supplemental report that would be further reviewed or reviewed by the GNSO at a later time before we had to make a thumbs up or thumbs down approval or not approval on any of the recommendations. I think it was really more about flow and making sure that, the reference to the anticipation of the supplemental report was a little bit more clear. I hope that's clear. And for the record, I strongly support the letter. I think it absolutely captured the concerns and the expectations of the council. I think that the table itself is in also very good shape. I submitted a few comments from the registry stakeholder group. I know we had a lively discussion on the list earlier today, but just for the record, I don't have any heartburn about the way that that either the letter or the table are presented.
Okay, thanks, Keith. I think that's helpful. There was another proposed edit here, I believe, was generated some discussion as changing, reflecting the larger community. We'll have adequate opportunity to review and comment on the supplemental proposal. I note that there was sort of a divergent opinion there that some folks thought that that was encouraging the CCWG to or directing them to have an additional comment period, while others were noting that the time frame may not allow for that. I wonder if there's a way we can split the difference and thread the needle here and just say something like, we'll have adequate opportunity to review if possible or something along those lines, comment on the supplemental proposal. I'm just putting this out here as something to consider that would get us past this, because I think that is still an open question on the CCWG, and I think you're correct that we don't want to arrive at a unified position in the GNSO, then we shouldn't steer that in one direction or another. Paul, you're up next.
Paul McGrady for the record. I kind of feel strongly about this. I think that there were a lot of changes in this last draft from the prior draft, and the 20 days during the holidays that we all had to look at it prior to the end of the comment period was really insufficient. I didn't hear anybody say, what a great outcome that was. And I think that if we're going to take the position that something is important as what will hopefully be the final draft of this thing doesn't go out for a robust comment period, that's a pretty strong divergence from the way that we've always done things. I would just be really careful that we don't end up being complicit in a situation where, there are major changes and it's viewed by the community generally that it was just pushed through at the last minute without any potential for comment, and that we were sort of helpful in that outcome. In order for this thing to actually result in a transition, it needs to be sort of out in the daylight with enough time for people to digest it. And if they come back with changes that were as significant as last time, then I think that calls for a significant amount of time to look through it. I would go the other way and chastise them a little bit for the short time frame that we were given last time and ask for something more robust rather than trying to thread the needle on the side of no comment period. I would call for more. So anyways, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Paul, and I can assure you you're not alone, even if it's just me that agrees with you that the 28-day comment period spanning between Thanksgiving and New Year's was not helpful and didn't result in the highest quality review, at least on my part, of the draft recommendations. You know, to your point, if this, I just want to kind of play this out a little bit from a practical standpoint, that if there is a comment or if there if this is a final report with final recommendations, and it is put out for comment, but there's no intention of, let's say, reworking the final report to reflect any of the comments received, on that last round, then wouldn't it make sense to allow groups like the GNSO and the other chartering organizations, when they are submitting their comments, to simply, I guess what I'm saying is, could we as the GNSO and other charting organizations conduct our own comment period, collect those comments from our SGs and Cs and individuals, and submit them along with our assessment of the final recommendations? I mean, that might be one way to both get that final comment on the record while still preserving the timeline. I'm just posting that out there. If the CCWG co-chairs are not anticipating any changes to those final recommendations anyway, maybe that's one way to have the last word. So just a thought. I think I'm trying to find a way to get through this here. Phil, you're up next, and then Keith after
yes.
that.
Yes, Phil here. Three quick things. Number one, James, with all respect, I find your proposed insert of if possible, I couldn't accept that because it seems to say if it's possible for the chartering organizations to comment on the supplemental, and I think it's absolutely mandatory that we have an opportunity to comment. The reason I suggested the slight change to reflecting the larger community is just, and I'll go whichever way the council wants to go on this, but look, here's the reality. NTIA said they needed the final proposal delivered to them by mid to late February to have a decent chance of getting the transition done in calendar year 2016. Based on a briefing that the BC got from Steve Del Bianco, who's the CSG liaison, representative on the CCWG that we got this morning, we're probably going to miss that anyway, even with just a chartering organization review. He said the best that could be done would be to deliver it to the board right about the time they're leaving for Marrakesh, which means that we won't be done with the proposal by Marrakesh, and we'll have to probably deal with it there. But if we have a 3 or 4 week public comment period open to the general public and receive dozens of comments, again, I don't think we can't have a comment period that say we're going to ignore the comments. That would be a fraud on the public. It's just going to add another month or two to the process, and it's probably going to jeopardize or substantially reduce the chance of getting a transition completed in 2016, which goes to the credibility of ICANN and the multi-stakeholder process as well as political consideration. So, again, I'll go. If the majority of the council wants a public comment period, so be it, but just within the dwindling time frame, it has consequences.
Thanks, Phil. And to your note there, I just asked Marika to remove the if possible insertion as I was just kind of putting that out there as a proposal. Certainly wasn't intending to take things off course. Here's my issue. I tend to agree. I note to Paul that, public comments have seemed to have been sort of given pro forma treatment these last two iterations. I'm just looking at it from a practical standpoint. Is that the CCWG releases their final recommendations here in the next couple of weeks, even if they were to have a comment period, those recommendations would not be amended or changed. They couldn't be. There wouldn't be enough time. So it would really just be commenting on the final work product, not necessarily commenting with an eye towards continuing to steer the outcome, because the outcome would have been resolved. So from a practical standpoint, I feel as though we could certainly attach whatever signing statement or comments we would like to as an attachment to our approval as an SO, and I would encourage other SOs and ACs to do the same. But I don't know that we should either jump behind a formal comment period conducted by the CCWG itself, and I think noting Keith. I'm sorry, Phil, your note about what that would impact on the transition timeline itself. Phil, you're up next. No, sorry, it's an old hand. Keith, you're up next.
Okay, thanks very much, James. Keith Drazik. So I've typed some stuff into chat that I won't repeat, and I see that Thomas Rickert has his hand up behind me, so I'll try to be brief. But the charter of the CCWG actually really does allow for, at this stage of the process, for the chartering organizations to consider the proposal. We have the CCWG has absolutely done very diligent work on all of the public comments that were submitted through every one of the previous three phases. And at some point, the CCWG needs to turn to its chartering organizations and say, how have we done? Have we got it right? They've tried to do that at this stage, and I think we're in the process now of giving our chartering organization, GNSO, feedback. We clearly will have some key dependencies and some concerns that we will communicate. And I think the next phase really should be and will be the CCWG asking us, have we addressed your concerns as described in the last public comment period? If the answer is yes, the chartering organizations approve. The answer is no, the chartering organizations do not approve, and further work needs to be done at that point. But just to reiterate, the charter of this group, of the CCWG, actually absolutely anticipated at some point turning to the chartering organizations. And I think the expectation in the CCWG is that time is upon us. So thank you. I'll stop and turn it over back to James and then to Thomas.
Thanks, Keith. I appreciate the context. Thomas, you're up next.
Thanks very much, James, and thanks to councillors to allow me to speak. I would like to add to what Keith has said that what we have requested from the chartering organizations at this stage is to indicate their support or their willingness to reject individual recommendations. So what would suffice at this stage is actually a feedback speaking to exactly that. So it is not necessary for council to comment on the further process. And whether or not a public comment period is to be conducted is a discussion that we're having in the CCWG anyway. So this is not a determination to be done by the co-chairs only. But I would say that if you look at the whole process from its very beginning, we have undergone four public comment periods already. If you count the public comment period conducted last summer, where the community was asked what accountability enhancements it would like to see. So we took that on board. We had three reports resulting in public comment. We had a turnout of 90 public comments to the third report, which is not too bad, although several commenters have suggested that it was bad timing over the holiday season. But we did get a lot of comments. I should say that we did get an awful lot of support also during that public comment period. And let me conclude by saying that all these 90 commenters were either rooted or part of or related to the chartering organization. So what we're doing now is basically taking the refinements that we're working on back to the chartering organization. So we're exactly talking to those that have expressed either support or concerns. We're working on refinements of the report diligently, with two hearings at least on each of the topics, and the chartering organizations will for sure get another opportunity to look at the supplemental draft. So we do what we can in order to be transparent about the changes, and although some of the changes that are made may be perceived as substantive by some, we are considering these primarily as refinements what we had already presented to the community a couple of times. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas, and I appreciate your clarity there. So I note that Paul is next in the queue, but just wanted to note here that this was a this issue is a is an important one, but it's really not one. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. It's really not ours to solve, at least not now. I think that we shouldn't have it on the critical path for us to get this letter and our responses out to the CCWG. We can express it separately, or we can express it as, through all GNSO participants on the CCWG. But I don't know that we should allow it to sidetrack this particular task. So with that in mind, Paul, you're up.
So thanks, Paul McGrady, for the record. I guess I would be more sympathetic to the idea that there have been several other public comment periods already if this last round of changes weren't so dramatic. I mean, we had included in Recommendation 11 essentially a proposal that had already been in front of the community, was voted down, and then resurfaced. We had missing language related to the physical location and the organization law of ICANN, essentially two things that would enhance government positions and could essentially unhook the ICANN from its United States jurisdiction. Those are major, major things. And so if the CCWG is, you know, I'm sympathetic, but at the same time, if we, in this next version, get major, major things, there just simply has to be a chance for the community to react to that. And so, that said, I agree that we are going down a bit of a rabbit hole here. I think that the CCWG needs to make its own decision on whether or not it's going to allow people to review and comment and take the heat for that. And so I just am concerned that what we're doing in this letter is, you know, sort of helping them decide not to let people have a comment, and we will join in taking the heat for that. And I don't think that that's our role. I think that we are, you know, it's their decision to make, and they can deal with the consequences if they choose no comment over comment, right? Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. And, you know, for the record, I agree with you that those changes were fairly substantial, and we're probably staring down the barrel of another raft of material edits or amendments. You know, I think that if it came to that, if the, you know, hypothetically, if this supplemental report comes back as a final take it or leave it, no comment allowed sort of approach, if that's how it's positioned to us, then it's very much within the GNSO and the other SOs and ACs purview to say, then we can't support it as written. And there goes the transition. I mean, it sounds kind of like drawing a line in the sand, but at some point we have to kind of, I understand the CCWG has to stop iterating and present a final report, but if they go too far afield from the feedback that they've received to date, or if they try to, you know, kind of, and apologies and forgiveness for Thomas, if they try to sneak something in there at the last minute that has not been supported by the SOs and ACs throughout the process, then we have that lever, and we'll need to pull it and simply say no. So, but I think that where we wanted to get to at this point is just an acknowledgement that we and the council are not that's not our decision yet. I understand we don't want to stand idly by and let it happen, but we're also not steering it in one direction or another. So let's see here. And Keith, I think you posted something here in the chat about.
I did, James. I'm happy to read it if you like.
Yeah, if you well, Paul, was that an old hand, or did you want to respond, Paul? Or oh, sorry, old hand. Okay, Keith, go ahead.
Okay, thanks, James, and thanks, Paul. So just as a possible way forward, you know, I take Paul's concern or point that if, you know, hypothetically, if there were major changes that were unexpected, that a public comment period, a full-blown public comment period, might be necessary. I don't think that's likely, but I understand the concern. So my suggestion would be changing the language that was proposed to say, the GNSO Council expects that it and other chartering organizations and possibly the larger community will have an adequate opportunity to review and comment on the supplemental proposal. The key word there is possibly the larger community, because we don't know if that's going to be required or not, but we recognize that it could be. So we use the word possibly, and hopefully this lets us move forward so we can get onto the rest of the substantive issues. Thank you.
Thanks, Keith. And Paul, I don't know if you take that as an edit that it captures your concerns. I think it, you know, it leaves the door open, but essentially it also lets them know where we stand on this particular issue of reviewing adequate opportunity to review and comment at a minimum at the chartering organization level.
This is Paul. Can we tack on a dependent clause at the end that says, comma, especially if the supplemental proposal contains material changes?
Sure. Can we say particularly if there are material changes to the recommendations, to the recommendation? Does that work for you?
Well, I think we need to if there are material changes to the recommendations in the supplemental, in any supplemental proposal.
It already says supplemental proposal.
Somewhere, yeah. Well, I would like to find a way to tie that to the issue of the larger community, because the way it's written now, it sort of sounds like, you know, as charting organizations, we may not need to look at it if nothing material has changed. But I guess what I'm trying to do is have the materiality standard trigger a greater need for the larger community to look at it. But we got the larger community sort of tucked in here in between commas. So, but this is the right idea. I'm just not sure it's written the right way. So if a smither can help us, that would be great.
Okay. Well, we'll massage that. But I just note that we have about 20 minutes left, and we still haven't tackled the chart yet. So I think we just need to move on here quickly. I know that this was an area that we wanted to cover, so I do appreciate those folks who weighed in on the list. The bulk of the traffic on the list was with regard to – I'm sorry, Marika, are we – was that the end of the edits for the letter, I believe? I can't scroll.
Yes, that's correct. There was only a small editorial edit from Keith.
Okay. Thank you for that small edit, Keith. if we could then move then to the chart itself, and I think that for, you know, in the interest of putting the microscope where the interest lies, that would bring us squarely to recommendation number 11. And the recommendation on the role of the GAC and its level of support. Now, the first point of contention is in the very first sentence, where I believe that Wolf Ulrich has noted that the first sentence here about overall the GNSO overall does not support this recommendation. I think, and then Ed noted that he would object to that being removed. I think that the question here is there another way to say this that addresses, that more accurately reflects the statement here and addresses those items that Ed would like to see preserved? And one of it, I think, one of the proposals was that there is broad opposition to this recommendation as written, and I think if we can capture that as an alternative, does that satisfy Wolf Ulrich and Ed if we were to restate this first sentence as there is broad opposition to this recommendation as written? Ed is saying that he is on board with that, so I guess Wolf Ulrich. And Wolf Ulrich agrees. Fantastic. Thank you, gentlemen, for your contributions to that item on the list. I think that was helpful, and I think our response is improved. So appreciate that. So there were a couple of notes here, and Marika, if we could scroll down here a little bit, because I wanted to get to the next point, which was that we had a number of we had a change proposed by Keith to the footnote here, which is that, and I'll just read the footnote as it's modified. The IPC, NCSG, and registrars expressly objected to changing and specifying the threshold for board action. Registry, stakeholder group, and ISPCP constituency did not expressly object, but highlighted significant concerns about the implications of such change. The registries stated it was unlikely to support the two-thirds threshold for board action unless three additional requirements, provision of rationale consistency with bylaws and within GAC scope and defined consensus, applied to GAC advice. The BC and MPOC support the change. Both also noted concerns over the implications, with BC support expressly conditioned upon certain qualifications being made to the proposal. I don't have any objection to Keith's inclusion here, because I believe it does actually make this a little more accurate. This footnote now is a little bit more explanatory. So I just wanted to see if anyone believes that their stakeholder group or constituency comment has been, downplayed or missed on this particular point. And I see Keith, your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, James. Thanks. So I just wanted to point out, and I typed this in chat, that this proposed edit from the registry stakeholder group was just intended to ensure accuracy with the comments that we submitted, and that we're not looking to necessarily change anyone's mind on the substance of this one. It was just for accuracy's sake. Thank you.
Okay. Excellent, Keith. And thanks. And I think Ed is noting as well that that he also either supports or doesn't oppose this inclusion. So, Marika, were there other changes to Recommendation 11 on the list that couldn't have been all of them? Or were they all just around that first sentence?
This is Marika. Yes, that is correct. I think the only, other change that was made was a reordering of the bullet points under item, and here we are, recommendation number 5, and that was suggested by Wolf Ulrich. But no text has changed, it's just a different order of how they were originally positioned.
Okay, thank you. And if I'm not mistaken, Wolf Ulrich made that recommendation or proposed that change because he believed that we should start with those bullet points that it had broader support and then move down to those that had less support. Is that generally the sequence? Or Wolf Ulrich, if you wanted to weigh in on this before we move on. I don't know. Does anyone have... Oh, go ahead, Wolf. I see your hand up.
Yeah, thanks, James. Well, I'm sorry, my voice is down. I wouldn't like to add anything more, which as I sent you already in my email. So it's just for more, it seems to me more clear, and I was wondering whether we could send it in a way to the CCWG, which is better understandable to them with regards to our position. Thank you. My voice is down. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Wolf Ulrich, and I will tell you that my voice is probably just one day ahead of yours, so I'm glad we're having this call today and not tomorrow, or at least I think Marika is. So I appreciate that, and I know some folks in the chat as well are indicating that that they believe this is a clear restatement of the bullet points that were conditional to recommendation number 5. There was another point, which was recommendation number 9, and I don't know if we had any changes to that. I just wanted to point out that since our special session last it was number 5 and number 9 last meeting, we had some discussions around those two recommendations. And I just want to make sure that everyone has had an opportunity to read through this and is fine with the new language of recommendation 9, because 5, 9, and 11, I think, were the ones that were drawing the most attention last time around. So certainly want to give folks ample opportunity to weigh in on those. And can we scroll down? Yeah. Yeah, Marika, either that or I know you can't unsync the document and edit at the same time.
This is Marika. Just a note that you should all have in your inbox as well. So if you want to read this one at your leisure, or if you prefer me to change the share screen option, but then you won't be able to see if I make any changes. So I'm happy to do it either way.
Okay, thank you. I don't believe we had any other updates here since the last review, and I believe that each SG or constituency position was specifically called out and labeled with that with its own abbreviation. So I think we were, we erred on the side of an abundance of clarity here rather than trying to condense and compress this and perhaps lose something in the translation. So, here. Yes, I'm trying to break in here. Yul pointed something out in the chat that I note that Ed raised on the list as well, is that there is, in the views and the comments expressed by the NCSG, there are concerns there is observation of the linkage between recommendation, I believe, 1 and 11 and 2, a couple of the early recommendations and item number 11. And it all boils down to this concept of balance between the SOs and AC and the role of the GAC. I think that I think that is, it's important to capture that, and it's important to not be lost. And I think that we did at least reference it, but I want to make sure that it is. And from Ed's perspective, I don't mean to put anyone on the spot, but I want to make sure that. That you feel that we have sufficiently captured that in those recommendations, either when we're expressing support or expressing our conditions for support of those recommendations.
Yeah, hi, James.
And, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, thanks. And with Thomas here, I just want to stress that when you see the objection to 11, most of us, if not all of us, that objection is linked to our concern on recommendation 10 and the lack of accountability reviews for the GAC and the increased role of GAC through its participation in the community mechanism in 1. So they're all linked. So when we're trying to work through and find a solution to the problem, it just may be that movement on 10 could affect support on 11, the same for 1. So they're all interlinked, and it seems that the opposition is focused on 11, but the others are involved as well. And in terms of the letter, I don't know if it's too late. On recommendation 1, we note the linkage between 1 and 11, but there's also a linkage between those 2 and 10. I don't know if it's possible at this point just to put in recommendation 10 too, so the linkages are complete in what we submit. Thanks.
Thanks, Ed. I think that does help clear things up. And I don't have any, you're saying the letter, or do you mean the table?
Sure, the table. On recommendation 1, we note that there's a linkage between recommendations 1 and 11. Recommendation 10 also plays a role, so I would just request, if possible, if we could just throw in 10 in between 1 and 11. So the folks in the CCWG that get this understand that there's this balance between the three recommendations, and when we're looking for a solution to get us moving forward, it just may be tinkering with 10 could create support for 11 or 1. It's just a triad. And I'd like to include 10 in as well as 1 and 11.
All right, so you're talking about under recommendation 1 with the comments, the first bullet point, we would say some of the GMSO have identified a clear link with recommendations number 10 and 11.
In 1 as well, exactly.
Well, this is under the comments for item number 1.
Okay. I don't have that before me. We only have 2 of the 3 in there. No, is that correct?
Correct. Item number 1 references item number 11. I'm suggesting that item number 1 reference 10 and 11.
10-11 in one. Okay, it's already in one as well. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's first mentioned in item number one.
Exactly. So just have put 10 and 11 in there rather than just 11. That would be perfect. Thanks so much, James.
Okay. Yeah, and I don't yes, and I think Mary has it in her chat here. Since the comments to Rec 10 refer to 1 and 11, it makes sense to the comments in Rec 1 with reference 10 and 11 as well. I think that's exactly what Ed is saying, Mary, and I think we just need to be consistent on all three of those when they reference back to one another. And that will address the point that Ed is raising, and Keith, I think, is noting that it's not just this isn't just semantics here. This is key for a lot of folks that these are all tied together. Okay, thank you for capturing that. Good catch, Ed. I would just kind of ask the council at this point, with 9 minutes remaining in our call, here's what I'd like to propose, that we would distribute. Because most of the traffic was on that linkage, the recommendation 5, recommendation 9, and recommendation 11, which I believe we have tackled, and the language of the letter and whether or not that left the door open for a public comment or strongly encouraged that or not. Here's what I'd like to propose. We circulate a clean copy of the letter and the table with a strong predisposition that it would be, this would be a final review. We circulate that to the list for approximately 24 hours, and then, unless someone catches a major error or omission, we send this to the co-chairs of the CCWGs on behalf of myself and Donna and Heather as the consolidated response from the GNSO. And if everyone is okay with that approach, that I would withdraw the motion that was a placeholder motion, still doesn't have a second, by the way, but the placeholder motion, item number 7, I would just withdraw that, and we would proceed with this letter and table. And I just wanted to see if there was support here for that approach. And I got a couple of folks that got some green check marks in some chat, so okay, no one's throwing any rocks at me. I want to make sure everybody has one last opportunity to put eyeballs to this document before it goes out under all of our names, and make sure that we're all comfortable with it, and that the CCWG co-chairs have something that they can use that draws their attention to the statements submitted by all the components of the GNSO. So we'll proceed that way. Thank you very much for all of those, particularly those who worked on the sub team, but really everybody that worked on this, as well as the staff members who we really ran through the ringer. It was good to have Mary in Singapore so she could work on this while we were sleeping. So thank you to all of the staff members. So with that said, then I will formally ask that we withdraw the motion that was made on item number 7, and that will just go into the dustbin of history. The last bit here, we have a couple of minutes to talk about Merit Cash, but just as a closing note to the CCWG, and I think you guys know where I'm coming from, is we should expect a final report, supplemental report, whatever it's going to be called. We should expect that in short order. And I think that we're going to have a slightly different approach, because both the time frame will likely be compressed because it'll be targeting mid-February. So even if there is a public comment, it will be a brief one. And secondly, I don't think we'll have opportunities to introduce conditions or changes or qualifiers to our support. I think that the GNSO itself, as a chartering organization, will be, asked to put its cards on the table and say, we support this or we don't. And we need to be clear and concise about that. And so I would ask those who are working closely with their stakeholder groups and constituencies to make sure that you set the expectation that this is coming and it's going to require perhaps a short turnaround, and that we're going to have to take a formal position on these recommendations. And in some cases, if the registrars are way off on left field on one of these recommendations, then I have to make sure that McKaylee and all the other registrars understand that if I vote for something and it doesn't carry, that that's still the position of the GMSO as a chartering organization. And I think that's just kind of where we are now. But the good news is I think that if the CCWG incorporates a lot of these comments on board, they'll see a great degree of unity in most of the recommendations. But I just want to put that out there. That is something that lies in our future. So we're not completely out of the woods yet. And Phil has said it, my whole paragraph in just one one sentence, which is that the supplemental report will start to look like a binary choice, yes or no. Okay, so then we can get maybe a quick update from Susan. I know we've got about 5 minutes, so I apologize. But Susan and Amr, if you have any updates relative to the Marrakesh meeting that you could talk to us about, I would gladly turn it over to you.
This is Susan, and we do have some planning in place, but I'm not up to date on it. It's been a really crazy week, so we're working on it. How's that?
That's at this stage in the game, that's acceptable, and I think that Amr was dropped from the call. Can I ask that if you have any significant updates to either the schedule or any of the events planned for the Marrakesh meeting, that we can circulate that to the list in advance of our next call?
Yes, we could definitely commit to that.
Okay, fantastic. And I noticed that Amr is back on the list, and he's agreeing with you that there are no significant updates at this point. This has never happened, perhaps at least in my history on the GSO, is we have a couple of minutes to spare, and I would just want to circle back to item number six, which was a motion on the RPMs that was withdrawn. Amr wanted to take the floor here briefly to discuss why his rationale for withdrawing that. So I would ask two things. Amr, if you could give us a brief overview of your thinking behind the withdrawal, and if the rest of the counselors could just give Amr an extra minute or two, that would be fantastic to hear him out. So, Amr, the floor is yours.
Thanks, James, and I will be brief. As you recall, when I sent in the motion to the council, it was maybe about an hour and a half or 2 hours prior to the deadline to submit motions. I had mentioned that I hadn't had a chance to go over the final issues report before sending it out, but in terms of process, I think it was very proper to go ahead, and since staff had prepared the report, it seemed pretty straightforward to submit it for consideration by the GNSO council. However, after going over it and comparing it to some of the points raised in the NCSG comment on the public comment period, I felt that I couldn't support the issues report as is, and I believe more work needs to be done on it. Maybe some small elements on what to include may not have been there, and that's why I asked for the staff report on this, and Lars thankfully pointed me in the right direction on where to look at that. But more importantly, I think we have a real problem on the stages, the two phases that were recommended by staff in the issues report on how to conduct the review of the RPMs. And specifically, the recommendation was in the first phase to review the RPMs that are specific to the new GTLD program, which are like the URS and the others, and wait to perform the review of the UDRP following that. Now, I don't really want to get into a substantive discussion on council on why the NCSG believes that a review of the UDRP first is more desirable. But what I would like to say from a process perspective, I don't think that the GNSO council should be adopting an issues report where there are disagreements. Issues report are supposed to be very straightforward and uncontroversial documents that scope an issue that is meant to be deliberated upon by a PDP working group. If there is disagreement on something like the process by which the working group will work, then I believe that this should not be included in the issues report and should be deferred to the working group to sort of work this out. Like I said, the issues report is just meant to scope the issues that are meant to be discussed by the PDP working group. So I think if the GNSO can't agree on something like the order of the two phases and which RPMs would be reviewed first and which would be done later, I think that this decision should be deferred to the PDP working group and not included here. And I would be happy to continue to work on this with the rest of the council members and staff in the weeks to come. Thank you.
Thanks, Amr. And so just as a note here, I think that, you know, the work will continue on this until it is in a form that we feel comfortable we can proceed to reintroduce the motion. And I think it's worth noting that because it was withdrawn, that it was not deferred, so it doesn't necessarily have to be at the next meeting, nor does it lose the eligibility for deferral, if that made any sense. So thanks for the justification there, and I think the takeaway from my end is that there's more work to be done on that, and it just wasn't fully baked yet. So thank you, Amr, and we'll continue to work on that one. Okay, so with that, I note that we are just 1 minute over. Lots to do, but we've made a lot of progress here today. Ed, is that an old hand, or did you have a closing comment?
Old hand.
Okay, no sweat. Thank you. And so let's go ahead and adjourn if there are no other AOB here, which we always seem to skip, but, you know, that's becoming a tradition. So if there are no other items, we'll adjourn for today. And I would just say again, thank you, everyone, for your work on these issues. We'll get some of them in our rearview mirror, but we know that the road ahead has quite a bit of there's no shortage of things to take on here in the next few weeks as well. So thank you, everyone. Have a great week and weekend. And for those of you on the East Coast, make sure you pick up lots of bread and milk and hunker down for the blizzard that's coming your way. And folks in the Midwest here, we will just, we will try to not to point and giggle too loudly. So take care, everyone. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, James.